going to start this off with a prayer real quick once I get my notes out. I promise this is notes. I'm not watching to see if the Yankees are winning. It's okay. So I'm going to talk on the heart of a giver, which is a very important piece in all of our lives, obviously. I know I'm probably preaching to the choir today, but I just want to pray real quick and get it started off. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for helping me to have the words to speak and giving everyone else the ears to hear. And thank you, Lord, that even things that I'm not saying, help them to be able to hear words from you as I'm speaking today. In your name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to start off with a little story. So you guys know I like to throw spears. I'm a javelin thrower. And if anybody has ever thrown a javelin, you know it's a pretty difficult thing to do sometimes. Don't worry, I'm not bragging, I promise. But I'm going to start off with, there's two examples that I want to show you in giving. One's the way not to do it, and one's the way to do it. And when I was trying to think of what to preach on today, I thought, I don't know why, but the Lord made me remember a moment when I was with my coach, and he was in front of everybody that was throwing javelin my sophomore year, and that year, for whatever reason, it was a lot of javelin throwers, and big group, and he was showing us how to do our stretches, and he was all like getting ready, and he was like, okay, I'm going to show you guys how to do these long skips. And he's like a bigger dude, and he's like getting ready, and he does these long skips, and when he gets to the last one, his ankle just folds and he falls right onto the ground. And I was like, wow. And I was like, I was the only one that knew him at the time because he had already been my coach for a bit. So of course I laugh and nobody else does. I was like, never mind. And I went over and helped him up. And he was like, okay, guys, that's the way not to do it. I'll just let you guys know that right now. That's the way that we're not going to do it. And then, so that was the way not to do it. And through trusting the coach, even though we could have dwelt on the part, well, he doesn't know how to do stretches, so I'm not gonna listen to that guy. And all the way through the rest of my high school years, I'm not going to listen to him. I'm going to do my own thing when I throw this spear and maybe hurt somebody. So he's going to show you the way not to do it. But in trusting him, he's also going to show you the way to properly do what you're there to do, to throw a spear. And the same is in the Word. God is going to show you the way not to do it sometimes, and he's going to use examples, and he's also going to show you the way to do it through using examples. So I'm going to open the Bible today. I mean, you can't have Luke preaching without opening to Luke. So I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 18, I think is the first one. One second, let me get there. So Luke chapter 18, verse 18 through 23. So I'm reading from the NLT, so mine might be a little bit different from yours. And it says, once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And then the first thing Jesus said to respond was, why do you call me good? Don't you just love it how sometimes Jesus will be like, you're just asking him a question, and he's like, wait a minute, before we proceed, why are you asking me this? And I know that we all love to call him good, but he always turns it to the Father. And that's side note here, before we even get into the giving part, in everything that we do, no matter how good we get at it, always say, God's greater. Always say, God's greater. Okay, as we're going back, and he says, but to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. The man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. When Jesus heard this, he said, there is still one thing you haven't done. Ouch. And then he says, sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. Now I can see this man, because it says that he was a religious leader, and I can totally see him waking up that morning. He's like, oh yeah, the prophet's in town. I'm going to get to show off. And he gets up there. There's a whole crowd. He comes out front. Good teacher. What must I do to get this eternal life that you've been talking about? Because he thought that he was going to be like, oh yeah. He's going to be like, man, you got this. Nice job. You did it. Good stuff. And he's just going to be like that in front of everybody. So he went up. At least that's the way I see it. He went up to show everyone, I'm going to tell Jesus that I am a wonderful person. I've done all the commandments. And then he said one thing. So that is one thing that you've been holding from God. And it could be that you've been like this man, where you have given everything that you're willing to give. And God doesn't want us to be like that. Because if you're holding one thing back from God, that's holding that one thing higher than God. And you never want to be in a place where you're holding something higher than God. Let me pull my notes back up real quick. Okay, so now we're going to turn literally one page, at least in my Bible, it's one page, to chapter 21. So we just saw the way not to do it. Now I'm going to show you guys the way to do it. So Luke 21, verse 1 says, while Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts and their offerings in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. And he said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they have given a tiny portion of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. She didn't have that heart where she was holding back. And you can imagine in that temple, there's people all up in the front that are giving like the rich young ruler. They're all like, yeah, I'm going to, all puffed up, I'm going to throw that down there. And he's like, yeah, I feel good about myself. You just pat on the back and walk away. Nice job. But this lady, I'll bet she knew Jesus was there, but she wasn't there to show Jesus how much she was giving. She wasn't there to show him, look how much I've done. And I believe the rich young ruler, he could have been so prosperous. But he wasn't willing to let go. And we don't know how rich that widow could have become. But what a blessing to be in the Bible as the one who gave all. The one who gave everything. I heard Jesse DePlanis say this. He said, I believe that it's totally possible to give without loving, but I also believe it is 100% impossible to love without giving. She wasn't giving out of love for herself. She was giving out of love for God and out of response for God, and mostly out of trust for God. So the heart of a giver is the heart of love and the heart of trust. So what kind of heart do we want to have? We saw how not to do it. And we saw how to do it. So as we pray real quick and we wrap it up, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Help us to have a heart like the widow, Lord, that even though she had almost nothing, did not hold anything back from you. Lord, we thank you today that if there's something that we've been holding back, whether that's in finances or other parts of our life, Lord, we're releasing that. We're letting go of it. And we're not going to be holding anything higher than your throne today, Lord. We thank you for blessing every seed that is sown. In your name we pray. Amen.
So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're continuing a message titled, you know, it's like you could say it's a series, but really it's just all one message, right? So, but it is a series. But this one's been called Faith Highway. Somebody say Faith Highway. Say I'm on the highway of faith. Glory to God. There's no greater road to be on, right? Than the highway, the road that's going up. On your way to be with God in heaven forever, but there's all kinds of things to see on the way up there. Praise God. It was funny, Lane and Lindsay both got new cars this past couple weeks, and they've been wanting to go to Mount Hood for a long time. They've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it, but, you know, they have cars that don't require faith to get to Mount Hood. And instead of driving together in the same car, they both said, no, let's both take our cars and follow each other to Mount Hood. And so they did, and they had a great time and took pictures, and what a great adventure. They got on the highway, right? And their cars are manifestations of their faith in God and all this kind of stuff. So just a great example of, you know, living for God should be the greatest adventure anyone could ever have. The devil would say, you know, serving God is dull and boring and you're going to miss out on all the fun and all these kind of things. But he's a liar. He's just straight up a liar. Amen? And so living for Jesus is the most fun. There's a minister, Brother Burton, I think, on Victory Network. And he says, if you're not having fun serving Jesus, you're doing it wrong. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. I just don't think when we get to heaven, it's going to be like, you know, the library. Like, shh. Or the waiting room at ER, right? No, it's not going to be any of that. It's going to be a celebration, right? And we're going to be discovering the greatness of God for eternity. I mean, it's just remarkable to think about such things. But we don't have to wait till then to just enjoy Jesus and be believing him for things and having faith for breakthroughs in every area of our life and be in an area, you know, an attitude of expectation constantly, right? So Hebrews 6, verses 9 through 12 has been our foundation text. And we'll open up to that first. Last week, I got lost in Hebrews, but not this week, no. I shall not get lost in Hebrews because this is the only stop in Hebrews today. Verses 9 through 12. But beloved, we are confident. Somebody say, I am confident of better things. Why am I confident of better things? Because I am beloved. Because my God, my Father loves me. Somebody say, my Father loves me. So therefore, he's got better things for me. Better things ahead. Amen. We are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany. This is huge. There are things, church. There are better things, good things, great things that accompany salvation. Now, there's no greater gift than eternal life in heaven, right? If we had to pick one thing and nothing else, that'd be the one thing to pick. I mean, if we had to suffer and struggle and just be tormented throughout this life, this short life on planet Earth, and then have heaven, it'd be worth it. But there are, according to the book right here, there are things that accompany salvation, right? Don't you know Jesus is coming with a great company? Heavenly hosts, saints that have gone on before us. And there are things that accompany salvation. And it says, though we speak in this manner, it ought to be a manner of speaking. It ought to affect the words that come out of our mouth. Gloria Copeland said that your faith is released through words. So we could also say that fear and unbelief, therefore, would be released through words, right? So we got somebody say, watch your mouth, right? For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Somebody say diligence, right? To the full assurance of hope until the end. Don't you know there's an end to this road? Really, the end is just the beginning, though. We get to heaven, right? Verse 12, that you may not become sluggish. Don't become slow. Don't slow down. Amen? Somebody say, I'm quick to believe. I'm quick to believe God. I'm quick to listen, quick to repent. Amen? That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Somebody say that. I inherit the promises through faith and patience. And on a road trip, a lot of times you believe you're going somewhere, but it requires patience. I know even going to Mount Hood was about a two-hour trip, right? And it required patience. It doesn't matter how nice of a car you have. It starts getting old when you're just sitting there another mile, right? So this journey is going to require both faith and patience to inherit the promises, to take the mountain. Glory to God forevermore. Now, some key definitions. By the way, just to review a little bit, why would you want to go on a road trip? Well, it's some of the things that I wrote down last week, because I just want to get out of town, right? I want to get out of the realm of the known. I want to blow the stink off. I want to go on an adventure, right? I'm going to make sure I've got a full tank of gas. I'm going to carry snacks. I'm going to take things to listen to while I'm driving that keep me, you know, just having fun, right? I'm going to pack a bag if it's going to be an overnighter or more, right? I'm going to make sure my car is ready for a long trip. Is the oil change? Are the tires good? You know, all these kind of things. I'm going to make sure I've got the provisions for it. I got money, credit cards, you know, for the gas or whatever, cash, that kind of thing, right? It's going to be a time of rest and fellowship. Amen. And then these last couple things we talked about was, first, I need to decide, where is it that I want to go? Where are we going? Somebody say, where are we going, right? What are we going to do when we get there? What do we want to do? Who do we want to see, right? And then, is everybody in the car in agreement about where we're going, right? These are important things to consider when you're going on a road trip. Amen? And it really becomes a great adventure, especially as you get farther and farther. Like if you live in the Northwest and you drive to California, especially in the rainy season, you start looking forward to the California border. I mean, we've gone before in the spring when it's cold and rainy up here, and all of a sudden you start noticing the weather's changing, right? Oh man, there's a palm tree. And all of a sudden you start getting this smile on your face, like, wow, this is great, right? Amen. You've exited the realm of the known and are moving on to, somebody say, better things. By the way, by faith, we call better things to California right now. Better leaders, better governors, better representatives. Somebody say amen. And the same for Oregon and the same for Washington in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Somebody say better things, right? But these definitions, when it says don't become sluggish, we really focused on that last week, talking about laziness, dullness. If we're sluggish in faith, then the Bible says we're illegitimate children. And how many know God does not have any illegitimate children? Nobody is getting to heaven today and saying, yeah, I didn't receive you myself, but my good friend Stanley, though, he just, we're tight. And he's in, so therefore I'm in, right? No. No, you're not. Somebody say you're either God's son or his daughter, or you're not. And that comes how? By faith in Jesus. Amen? Glory to God. And then we're going to talk today about the word imitate, which means follower. Even words like mimic are in there. Amen. And then the word, when it says, do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith. Somebody say, through faith. And I learned on the Blue Letter Bible app that the word through means the channel of an act. I like that. It makes me think of a highway. How are you getting there? On the highway. That's the channel I'm moving on. I'm taking action. I'm in movement, propelling forward on this highway of faith. Amen. Glory to God. And then faith means, I love the definition of the word faith, reliance upon Christ for salvation, constancy in such profession, moral conviction of the truthfulness of God, assurance, belief, fidelity. And rest assured, saints of God, your faith will be tested. Welcome to Planet Test. Amen? And it's not God that's testing you. There is a devil. And there are circumstances and situations. And there's our own flesh that will push against our faith. Are you really going to stick with it? Somebody say, yeah, I'm going to stick with it. What if you fall off the apple cart? Somebody say, get back up. Amen. That's called being constant in your profession. You're not saying negative things and unbelief one day and faith things another day. You are constant in your profession, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, no matter how it sounds. Somebody say, I'm staying with it. I've made a decision. And that really comes with we're not putting faith in our faith. Right? Faith, this kind of faith comes from relationship. So it's impossible to have faith in somebody that you don't know. Amen? So that's why daily time in the Word, study of the Word, prayer, being in church, all these things, obeying Him, doing what He says, all these things will help you to get to this place called assurance. Amen. And it'll help you to be faithful and stick with it, even when it looks like, amen. I mean, we got to get to, I believe we are at the place where if, Lord, I don't believe this at all, but if nothing I ever believed for came to pass ever in this life, I still get to go to heaven and I'm still going to see Jesus face to face and I'm still going to live forever and He's still on the throne. So that's the main thing. All this other stuff is really icing on the cake for me. Things, what are they? They are things that should accompany salvation. How many know healing should accompany salvation? Prosperity, the blessing of God, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God. All these things are things, houses. What's in your heart to believe for? Houses, church buildings, ministries, souls, businesses, whatever's in your heart. These are things that accompany our salvation. Glory to God. That's exciting stuff. These are things that we'll see as we travel down the faith highway. Glory to God. Amen. Somebody say, I'm going to see things. But how many know before you see things, you have to see things. See things in the Word. See things in your heart. See things in your spirit. See things in the realm of prayer. And then you will see things. They will somebody say, they will manifest in the natural realm. Glory to God forevermore. And the word patience, which says, imitate those who through faith and patience, the Wonder Twins. Back when I was a kid, I used to watch the Super Friends. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, loved that cartoon. And they had the Wonder Twins. Wonder Twin powers, activate. Shape of an eagle, form of water. Some of you got no idea what I'm talking about. But faith and patience are the Wonder Twins. They work together. Your patient, Glory Copeland said this again yesterday. I was watching her healing school on Victory Network. And she said that your patience is what undergirds your faith. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. And road trips require patience. Don't they? Amen. And the word inherit means to be an heir to obtain by inheritance. Boy, those are some things to meditate on. Things that accompany my salvation are not things I'm going to have to eke out and just toil over. No, these are things that I obtain by inheritance that I believe God for. Yeah, there'll be work involved, but it's not like it's going to, you know, the Bible says there's a wealth that comes from God that adds no sorrow with it. Amen. I found a really cool picture. I've got some pictures in my notes app in my phone for prayer things, and one of them is the prosperity of God. Blessed to be a blessing. Somebody say, I am blessed to be a blessing. And I found this picture of this little kid, and he's holding hands with his dad, and his dad's like a big farmer, and he's like a little farmer. And they're standing in this wheat, and you can't see the end of the wheat, right? And you just get this image of our Father is a God of great abundance. But the great abundance is not just for Steve to have something nice. He loves that. But it's also for Steve to bless other people with, to feed the masses. Now that's glorious. See, we want to be like our Father. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. And when it says to inherit the promises, promises means things like profess, to make promise, means message, an announcement. I'm here to announce to the devil that I am rich. I'm here to announce to the devil that this is the fastest growing church in the Northwest. I'm here to announce to the devil that we have property and buildings and staff and souls being saved. And this is his worst nightmare. I'm here to announce to the devil that we own our houses, that we own our homes, that we're married to the right people. Glory to God. I'm here to announce to the devil that we are healed and well and blessed. Somebody say, make some announcements. Does it sound funny? Who cares? That's why we're on a road trip. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm growing. That's where I'm knowing. That's where I'll be showing. It's a rhyme on time. Amen, right? These are promises that the Lord gives us in our hearts. You see, we get into the Word of God and we see what He's promised us, and we pray in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit gives you something to confess regarding you and your specific situation, and you get busy confessing that. Amen. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter is established, or something to that effect. Every matter. So what's the matter? Is fear the matter? Then get into the Bible and find two or three witnesses, scriptures. Like David. Remember David when he scooped up the rock and he picked like five more? Because Goliath got brothers. I'm not going to miss. His head is too big to miss. And my faith is right there. But you got to have two or three witnesses, not just one verse or one thought. No, okay, that's something I'm believing God for. Where's the scripture that backs it up? And two or three. And write it down or have it on your notes page. And find an image that goes with it. Why an image? Because you're visual. Glory to God. Amen. All this, you know, these things with AI nowadays, I think some of the images that I found were just AI generated. Oh, you want farmer and son. Oh, here you go. Woo, that's cool. I like that, right? That's me and God. It's me and my Father standing out in our wheat field, feeding the masses. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. But I want to look today for the next few minutes at the word imitate. Do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I want to tell you this, church. It is important that we get really busy imitating, right? Mimicking people of faith, not people of unbelief. Amen? Because we need to do it like our life depends on it. Because a lot of Christians would say this. Pastor Steve, and the word imitate here, we're going to specifically look at the word follower. That's a big word in social media, right? I'm a follower. How many followers do you have? All that kind of thing, right? How many know, a lot of Christians would say, Pastor Steve, I'm following Jesus. And somebody say, amen. That's really important. That somebody say, it's really important to have that down. And how do you do that? By knowing what's in the Word of God, by knowing Jesus, by knowing the gospel, knowing His voice. We had a guy the other day in the grocery store. Shelly and me were shopping. Really, just a really nice looking guy, and had a faith T-shirt on. and he didn't have enough money to pay for his groceries. It's like one of those things where, oops, I just didn't transfer the money, so he had to step aside, and he's getting on his phone, and Shelly is so observant. I'm just kind of in my own world, like, something. And she's like, honey, let's find out how much his groceries are, right? And we found out, and we had the cash with us. So I'm like, do it. Let's do it. So we called the grocery clerk over and said, we'd like to pay for that man's groceries, right? And he said, he was looked at us like, why? Really? And so he just received it, and he was actually tearing up and getting emotional. And he came up and even gave me a kiss on the cheek. He's like, oh, thank you. So like a little older guy. And he's like, you know, I've been going to a Mormon church up the road, all this kind of stuff, talking about that kind of thing. But how many know if you know Jesus, then you'll know Jesus. Right? And that's what I told him. I didn't slam the Mormon church. I just said, you know, that's really great, but this is from Jesus. This is from the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. Right? Have a blessed day. Just receive. And he just kept hugging us and crying. And it was like, you know what? It was a few dollars. Amen. But that's, where did you learn that from? Somebody say, from my Father. I learned that from my Father. You know, we've had people, and we're talking specifically about, you know, following Jesus. Somebody say, I follow Christ. But Jesus also has people. People. How many of the devil has people? And a lot of people follow his people, and they're following his people straight to hell. Well, Jesus also has people that we are supposed to follow. This morning, I was following Pastor George Pearson's again. I was online watching. It's really amazing because when I was in high school and junior high, I always felt like I need to have this personal relationship with my pastor. Personal relationship. And it was very personal to me. And God sort of grew me, and I did. My first pastor back in the day was like another dad to me, right? And then as I grew, and he brought me into a bigger place, the senior pastor of that place, I mean, he's got hundreds of people around him wherever he goes. And I was struggling. I need to know this man. And the Lord was like, you do know him just by listening to what he says. And after a period of months and even years, through serving and volunteering and helping, and I even became a staff member, I did end up becoming like another father to me. What a tremendous thing. But then he drew me into this, what we're doing now. And the pastor that I would call my pastor, I've never met him. But I can say George and Terry Pearson's are my pastors. Even though I've never met them. I don't go to lunch with them. We don't go on vacation together. How do you know them? Through the anointing. And through a place of commitment, prayerful, partnership, that kind of thing. And that's just one example of how God will use people to influence you and people to listen to. When they say something, I listen very closely. And there's others. There's other people that God uses in our lives. Somebody say, he uses people. He also, the devil sometimes, and you know, there's other people that love God, but they'll try to use people to derail you. Right? We've had people that have even come to this church, right? And we love them. We partner with them. We want to hear about their organization and partner with them. And I've had three times, you may not remember this, but I do, and I'm not holding anything against anybody, right? But three times I can think of in our history, the first thing they do when they get up here to speak is they start attacking prosperity. Why do they do that? Because they know Steve is a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. So they come at it in terms of, really, they have no place to come and bring correction to a church. It's right. You know, you're coming in and throwing darts at a father of mine. But because I love you, brother, I want to know about your mission, your ministry, whatever it is that you're... So we're going to hear you out. But all three of those times I'm thinking of, one of them, after he was attacking, not directly, but directly, oh, the prosperity doctrine, they'll say. It's like, so what are you, the poverty doctrine? It's like, what are you talking about, right? But let's hear about what you do. We want to help you with what you're doing. Why? Because what you're doing requires prosperity. And three of them, one of them, after they went on their, you know, thing, he said, but you know what? Nobody gives to our ministry like you guys. The other one asked for like a, they were like 5,000 short on a project they were doing. Shelly and I looked at each other, wrote the check. He thought he was going to have to go to all these different churches to piecemeal $20 here and $30 there. Write the check. Where do you learn that? Following people of faith. The other one didn't realize it, but ended up preaching a prosperity sermon. Trying to bring correction to prosperity, preached an entire message on why we must prosper. It's like the amazing thing of God is even if they come to attack, they end up talking. It's like if you notice with President Trump, the more they come at him, the more they're building him up. Why? Because there is a blessing on you. We don't take offense to these things. No, we want to help you with your project. We believe in what you're doing. So please don't come in and attack. Amen. Glory to God. But those people that I'm talking about, I'm not following them. No, I want to help them. I want to partner with them. I want to build them up. But there's some people God specifically puts in your life for you to watch and emulate and imitate and follow them very closely. Oh, but Pastor Steve, it's just me and Jesus. I don't need other men and women in my... Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Somebody say, oh, yes, I do. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Is it okay if we talk about this kind of stuff in church? Ephesians chapter 4. How many think the apostle, somebody say the apostle, Paul, is a credible source, right? Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of perfection. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. A lot of these ministry leaders that we're talking about, people that are imparting things into our life, are gifts of God to us. Amen, right? Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave, here we go, he himself gave some to be apostles, say apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Somebody say, grow up, right? In all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. So God puts people in our lives for us to follow. Amen. Like a road trip, a lot of times it's best to go on a road trip with a few people traveling together. Like sometimes you'll see, the other day when we were coming back from Seattle, I saw an RV pulling a boat or something followed by a car, and they were both from Alberta. I'm guessing they were together from Canada, right? A lot of times it's good to have somebody with you that knows where we're going. Right? The person that's out ahead of you. How many know there are people, there are ministers, there are pastors and leaders and prophets and evangelists that simply are out ahead of us. They've seen more, they've been more places, they've done more things, they know more. So it's good to somebody say, follow them. Follow them on this highway of faith. We can trust their leadership and their wisdom. Amen. You ever gone on vacation with somebody that just has nicer stuff than you do? I got a tent and they got this $300,000 RV with air conditioning. And they say, come on in, come on up here. That was one of the things that they were saying at EMIC this morning, was the scripture in Revelation where God calls, come up here. Somebody say, come on up to God's level. Amen. Glory to God. It's also good, like my father-in-law, again, as an example, Larry. If anything goes wrong, you ever have the list of people that if it was like survival mode, here's five people I want with me? Larry, my father-in-law, would be on that list. He will know how to fix it. Why? Because he's had to fix it many times before, right? He's this isn't his first rodeo. Somebody say, follow him. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. First 10 verses here. Am I boring you? Just kidding. Just kidding. Paul, oh, there's a big word, Silvanus and Timothy. I wonder if Silvanus had a nickname. What would it be, like Sil? Or Ve? Hey, Ve? Silvanus. What would you call, that's a side note. Just think about that. Weigh that. Weigh that, beloved. Oh, just look up Dave Gardner, you'll get it. To the church at Thessalonians and God, to the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See there, Pastor Steve, that's all I need. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that's it. Oh, no. He gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Somebody say, I need God's support system. If I'm going to make it through on this highway of faith and not become roadkill, right? Or stalled on the side of the road because I had to do it myself. This morning we saw two or three people that were about, you know what, I don't need a car. I'm just going to walk the freeway. There's a lot of people like this around here right now that totally are lawless, rebelling against all society. I'm just going to take my dog and walk somewhere along the freeway, and I don't need anybody. Well, you can do that if you want to, but you ain't going to get far. Amen. Somebody say, follow God's plan. And his plan includes people. Amen. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. It's important when you're following somebody that you feel that connection to them. Right? If you don't feel that there is a connection with somebody, the Bible calls it, even there's a term in, I think we're actually, I'm getting ahead of myself, but don't just follow somebody because they have a successful ministry or somebody knows them or they're a friend of yours. No, you need to feel a connection in the Holy Ghost to somebody. Or a denomination, all this kind of. No, you follow people that God puts in your life for you to follow. Amen? And sometimes those people might even make you mad. I've had it before where they said something I didn't like. You know, sometimes ministers have to say something that people may not like. And they may not like us for a while. Amen. Had one guy once invite us to dinner, paid for dinner, but the purpose of the dinner was to tell us what they don't like about us. And when I was bringing correction to that, he got up and left. Literally got up and left the restaurant. How many know leaders of God are not called, we're not masseuses. We're not just going to tell you what you want to hear all the time. But we will say what you need to hear and what God is telling us to say. And it is for the good of the body. Amen. So it's my part to be receptive to it, even if I don't like it. At least ponder it, pray about it, think about it. Amen. I had one of my first experiences with the church I was a part of back in the 90s. You know, Pastor Ed Redman. Oh man, what a man of God. And they've been in this for years. I mean, longer than I've been alive. Right? And there was one time back in my early years with the ministry we were all with over there with Larry Huck Ministries back in the 90s. Man, what a place. What a move of God back in the 90s over there in Portland. And Pastor Ed, I was in his class back then, and I had a girl that I liked that we were dating, and she decided she was going to go back to her lifestyle, and I was just torn up about it, torn up about this. And I just wanted to somehow get, and I was still trying to reach out to her and woo her back. And come, you know, it's just not in a good place in your mind, right? Nothing bad was happening, but it was just this place I was at, a funk in my own life, you know? And so I reached out to Pastor Ed, called him on the phone. He calls me back, and man, he gave it to me straight. Steve, all you are to her is a jealous ex-boyfriend. Drop it. And I had a decision to make. Oh, how offensive. I'm gonna call and report that I'm calling Larry Hutch right now. It's funny how many people would call him Larry Hutch. When I was pastor, when I became a minister there, we would have a pager. Who remembers pagers, right? And you were the pastor on duty. We all would share the load. So every about once a month, you'd have a week of anybody who calls in, you get paged. I got a page once in the middle of the weekend or something, and I called it. And it was this guy saying, "Hey, I was just wondering if Larry Hutch can come give me a ride to work." I'm like, yeah, right. Right. How many know not everybody is receptive to God's leadership, but we have to choose to be. Is it good for me? Then choose to be receptive to it. And you know what? That helped me. That bit of wisdom helped me to grow up some more and ask myself, what am I doing here? Am I here for that girl? Or am I here because God called me to be here? And several years later, Shelley Sneer came in to audition for a part in our musical, Bloodbot, and I had been promoted over the years for having a correction-minded attitude, submitting myself to God's people. I was promoted and promoted and promoted and promoted, and I was director of this musical. And Shelley Sneer showed up to audition for a part, and she got the lead role in my life. That's my wife, right? But what am I talking about? Things that accompany salvation, if we will be people that stay under God's authority system. Amen. Somebody say glory. Hallelujah. So 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, you became followers of us. Notice it doesn't say Jesus. Of course you're following Jesus. If you don't follow Jesus, you might be like that precious brother that's in a cult. Because he's following the voices of men before Jesus. No, you follow Jesus first, and then you'll recognize the voices of men to follow. Somebody say amen, right? And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word. Received the word. Somebody say, I receive the word. I receive the word in much affliction. In other words, the word may not always be comfortable. Pastor Huck back in the 90s, he would say, we're here to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Oh, that was so much fun back then, right? In joy of the Holy Spirit. There is such joy in just simply following God's plan. Amen. And it also, one of the great things about following God's leadership and God's men and women is it takes the pressure off of my shoulders. Why? Because I'm following them. And we're all in this together. Glory to God forevermore. I mean, we are in a convoy. A Jesus convoy, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We got to step it up here a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I had it marked and then my marker moved. There it is. There it is. It didn't move. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. I do not write these things to shame you. See there? If you're following the voice of someone who's constantly shaming you, ridiculing you, putting you down, that's not a voice to follow. Right? The Lord helps us to recognize voices that we should follow. Yeah, but they're with my denomination. They're with my organization. This is who I've been assigned to. No, you let the Holy Ghost assign you. Glory to God. Right? I do not write these things to you to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. There's love involved. Right? For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me, he says, right? Glory to God, right? Isn't that a remarkable statement, right? For this reason I have sent Timothy to you. See, what is he talking about? He's talking about a pastor. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you. See, that's my job as a pastor, as a leader, is to remind you right? Of my ways in Christ and teach everywhere in every church, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. So, somebody say, avoid being puffed up. Well, I don't need to listen to God's people. Me and Jesus, we got this thing. No, no, no. You're about to overheat and be pulled over on the side of the road, right? Huh? Don't be puffed up. Don't be proud. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Therefore, what do you want? How many? That's a good thing to ask yourself before you get on the faith highway. What do you want? You want the blessing of God in your life? Do you want your vision and your dream to come to pass? What do you want? I want it my way. Then you're going to have to go to my wayville. Right? And by the way, my wayville is marked with a road that says dead end. No outlet. Maybe it's a cliff. Right? You'll see smoke rising from the my way sign, right? I like that movie. What's the movie about the nanny, the military nanny? The Pacifier, yeah. What's the guy's name? Vin Diesel? Is that his name? And he says, it's my way. And no, there is no highway option. It's my way. How many know it's God's way? This is God. This is my Father's way. And we're traveling with him. Amen. And under his authority. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod? Or in love? In a spirit of gentleness? Somebody say, correct me, Lord. Correct me. His correction is for our protection and our direction and our perfection. And he uses people oftentimes to bring it. Amen? Glory to God. Now let's end here with 2 Peter verses, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We'll stop for today. Simon Peter, another credible source, we might say, right? Now, did Peter have issues with leadership ever? Can you think about that, right? He did, didn't he? Just a heart of gold, but he was constantly putting his foot in his mouth. Remember, he wanted to correct Jesus. Remember that story? Jesus just gets through complimenting him too, right? Oh, you are the rock. You are no longer Simon waving reed. You are rock solid because he said, he said, Jesus is asking him, who do men say that I am? And Peter speaks up, Simon back then, right? You are the Christ, the Son of the living Jesus. Well done, Peter, you the man, right? And then Jesus says, so you know, I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to suffer for everybody. And 3 days later, all right, and Peter grabs him by the arm. Now Peter thinks he's somebody now, right? You just called me the rock. I'm going to give you some rock solid information right now, right? And he says, that will never happen to you. And Jesus looks him in the eye and says, what? Get behind me, Satan. Forget Simon, forget Peter, Satan. Somebody say, correction. Correction. We need to be people that and that's the difference between, see, God isn't looking for a perfect human being. We don't exist. Somebody say, that doesn't exist. Jesus is the only perfect human being. What he is looking for are people who are willing to receive correction. Because he can't work with somebody who is not correctable. Yeah, that's a dead end. Not going anywhere on the highway of faith, the faith highway, right? But here we go. Peter obviously did something right because he's still in the book. He's got a book named after him, a couple books. He's one of the pillars in the kingdom of heaven. But yeah, he's a great example to us, isn't he? Right? A bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ to those who have obtained like precious faith. That's what you're looking for. Somebody say, that's what I'm looking for. And people that I need to submit to are people who have like faith. That's what I love about Victory Network. That's what I love about Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Seville and Jesse Duplantis and Rick Renner and Keith Moore and Bill Winston and Keith Butler. Now, it doesn't mean you can't receive and plug in and hear something from somebody else, but these people who are preaching the word of faith to me, with me, that is like faith. It's a different level. Doesn't mean I can't hear something from somebody else. This means when these people are speaking, I better be listening like they're a commanding officer in the unit that Steve is assigned to. Nancy Dufresne, it goes on and on, right? And not just one or two. This is glorious stuff, right? Those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. A couple more verses. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. Now see, once you have submitted to God's authority, now we can proceed. See, if we don't submit, we can't go anywhere. But once you've said, yes, sir, I'm in, sir, yes, sir. Right? Now he says, grace and peace then be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, your knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ will only increase when you are submitted to his authority. I can't just say, I don't need to know them because I just want to know God more. Well, you can't know God more if you're not plugged in and undercover. Because why? Because they are the ones assigned to teach you. Somebody say, I need to be taught. Glory to God forevermore, right? God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ our Lord, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Somebody say, things that accompany salvation. Houses, spouses, dreams, visions, buildings, salvation to our families, a nation, for goodness sakes, that's turning out of hell and coming back to righteousness. All these things depend on the church getting it right. Hallelujah, right? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. If we want the exceedingly great and precious promises, we better be real good about following his plan and his people. Amen? That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We could literally say that the faith highway is the only escape route from the curse, from death. I mean, that's how serious this is. Somebody say amen. Let's all stand up and we'll pray and rejoice. I've been listening to Dave Gardner lately. He's like a comedian from the 60s. And Jerry Seville talked about him a lot, and I found him. And wow, gold. He's got this, you should look it up. It's called Rejoice Dear Hearts. Dave Gardner. It's like a 41-minute. You know how they used to put things on a record album? It'll just make you laugh. Clean and funny stuff, right? Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we surrender our lives to you. We will follow you. Somebody say, Lord, I will follow you. And I will follow your leaders. I will stay under your leadership and your authority. And have a great attitude of faith. Hallelujah. Just say it out loud. Father, I submit to you and to your correction and to the people that you put in my life to be a covering for me. I thank you for them. Hallelujah. Praise, 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 praise. Just begin to thank him. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you've poured out in this world, your ministers and ministries and people that maybe even we've never even heard of that are out there ministering. We pray, God, your supernatural peace and protection over them. And Lord, we pray for that supernatural unity of faith that your word clearly says. That we are not people that are attacking one another, devouring one another, criticizing one another by name and this kind of stuff. We are walking in the love of God, in the bond of love and of faith. But we will follow you, sir, and the people that you put in our lives to minister to us and bring that correction and guidance on this great faith highway. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Say amen.